Well, good morning. Once again, I got an opportunity to lead this morning's adult Bible class. We are working our way through this I Will book. And this morning we're talking about the idea of I will give generously. The idea of giving, if you are a guest, is something that we want to challenge ourselves with, that Christ is a great example. He is the ultimate example for us as we look at our lives, as we try to pattern our lives after Him. And we want to challenge ourselves to be Christ followers, to give in a way that is worthy, honoring all that He has given. This morning, we're going to point some fingers. And you know the old adage, when I point at you, I've got three pointing back at me. Well, that never is more true than it is right now, as I get an opportunity to speak to you about giving. Reminded of the story of this young girl. She was helping her mom with dishes. As they're sitting around, or they're standing by the kitchen sink, the little girl looks up, and in the sunlight, she notices for the first time that mom has a few strands of gray hair. The little girl says, "Mom, where did those gray hairs come from?" Mom thinks about it for just a moment, and she says, "You know what? When you don't listen and obey, it makes me really sad, and out pops a gray hair." Little girl thought about that for a little while and said, "Boy, Grandma sure has a lot of gray hair. You must have been a bad kid." When you point, you've got other fingers pointing at yourself. And so this morning, I want to be truthful. I don't want to be cautious. I want to be truthful in what we're talking about. But I want to be careful as we talk, because there's a way that we can talk about giving generously, in which will tear us apart. It will make us legalistic. And there's a way that we can talk about what God has in store for us, and it will inspire us and it will excite us. Amen? God is at work among us, right? And we want to join in His work. There's a story, I don't know if this is true or not, but it makes a great preacher story nonetheless. Do you know the difference between wild horses and wild donkeys? Yeah, I didn't know either. Wild horses, they say, is when they're out in the wild pastures, as they're out in the fields, when danger comes their way, they will gather up, they will circle up, and they'll all put their heads together, ironically, and their feet, their hinds, out on the outside of the circle, and as that wolf pack or whatever danger comes their way, they will kick the tar out of those animals that are trying to attack their group. Wild donkeys, on the other hand, are similar. They will circle up, but they will face their challenge. They will put their heads on the outside of the circle, and then they will kick the tar out of one another. I don't know if that's true or not, but as we deal with the idea of giving, as we deal with the idea of really fully investing ourselves, let's not beat each other up. Let's work together. Let's recognize that this is a journey. It is not a quick sprint. This is a marathon race, and it's day by day we will pick up our cross and we will follow Him. Amen? And so together we will join. One of the best examples that I heard of a life of giving, a life of serving and leading, was this older couple. They had been married for 60-some plus years. And at the funeral, this man of his sweet wife, he stood up. He began to talk about all the good times that they had shared, all these wonderful memories, the blessings that God had given to them throughout all these 60 plus years of life. And as he wraps up this talk, there's her body laying in front of him. And in a tender moment, disregarding the rest of the crowd, he speaks only to her. And he says basically this. He says, "For 62 years you've walked by my side. You've been the love of my life. I may not have always been perfect. Definitely was not the perfect husband. I know I've let you down from time to time. However, Rose, this last week, I did complete the promise that I made to you on our wedding day. I promised that I would love you until death separated us." This morning, as we talk about giving generously, being Christ's followers, I want to challenge us first to recognize that we're pointing fingers, that we're going to build each other up, that this is a marathon, this is a journey that we're going to walk together. And we're going to fall, we're going to fail, but we're going to continue on together. I want to encourage us to think about giving. This morning I've entitled my lesson, Dollars and Cents, and the sense is the wisdom, the understanding of who we really are and what we should do. This morning we're talking about giving, but it's not just about financial. It's not what just goes in the plate, though that's an important part of this message as well. In fact, this morning I've heard of two opportunities that require $0 in order to give. Tonight we've got a group meeting to do their part in the Scouts Hope Baking. We've got some young people that are coming together to mix some cakes together to give to those that are in need within our community. We need 5 or 6 adults to come and be with them tonight, starting around 5:30. If you can come and be in here, that'd be a great blessing to this ministry, in which we are educating and training and preparing them to serve within our community, raising up this next generation. This Saturday, we need just a few more adults to help us with our parents' night out, in which young parents are getting the night off. They're able to drop their kids off and have just some childcare free here at the church, and they can run off and have a date and enjoy time together. If you'd like to volunteer in the Hope Project this afternoon, talk to Lisa or Charlie Branch. If you'd like to participate in the parents' night out, childcare, talk to my wife, Kara. We would appreciate that. This morning, let me walk with you through a couple things that we've been talking about. Chase, if you're going to... Our clicker's not working, right? Okay. So last week, as we started off, we talked about this idea of I will. And we began with the concept that we will be men and women of action, that we will take steps to be proactive in our lives and in our following. Week 2, we talked about worshiping together, and I appreciate you for being here this morning, for joining us in this time of study and fellowship and worship. Week 3, we talked about that we would grow together, that we would invest our lives, not just Sunday morning, but throughout the week, we would share our hurts and our struggles, our joys and our triumphs with one another. We would let our children grow up with one another. We would participate in life together. And week 4, we talked about being men and women who would serve. We will be active, and when an opportunity comes our way, we will join in and we will invest ourselves in the ministries and the opportunities around us. Last week, we talked about going, not just inviting people to come here, but we will actively go and share our faith. We will participate in speaking the faith that we so strongly believe in. And this morning, we're going to talk about giving and giving generously. I want to ask you to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 real quick. And I want to give you 3 reasons to give generously. I want you to share in this idea that there are 3 choices. One more. I want you to notice in these scriptures a concept from the Bible that puts the opportunity to participate with God. As God is on mission to redeem the world, He gives us the opportunity to participate in a very unique way. The first way, number one, is for us to choose our attitude. The right way to give is starting with the heart. As we choose how we want to live for God, we will begin with our own heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7 says, "Each of you should give what you have decided to give in your heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." So oftentimes when we talk about the concept of giving, it is with terms of X percentage or just a little bit more. But this morning is in Bible class, in this book, and in Scripture, as Jesus teaches, it really begins with our heart. Not under compulsion. You are not forced, but this is a joy. This is a blessing. This is a gift back as you appreciate what God has given to you. This morning, I want us to notice that it is Christ's example that gives us this message. He gives us two different things as Hebrews talks about. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He gave his life. He emptied himself of all of the pleasures and position that heaven had to offer. But in Luke chapter 6, verse 30, Jesus teaches us this. He says, "Give to anyone," or "give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, don't demand it back." He's going to start with our heart of what we hold on to and what we see as ours. And he's going to challenge us from the get-go to put our heart in the right place. Before I ask you to give, I want you to recognize that all is from God and all that you have is for his glory. And so when he says do this or that, he is leading us, he is teaching us with right, true principles. When Jesus says, if somebody asks, give, it's not a hardship. It's not an obligation. But he's leading us towards the joy of life. Where is your heart this morning? How do you feel about your things, your money, and God's work? Are they separate? Are they distinct? Are they on opposite ends of your financial spectrum? Jesus teaches us a great principle here as we look at our heart. Number two, I want you to choose your results. I want you to be aware of how our giving will produce something special. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 6, it teaches us a principle about what we give and what we get. Before we get there, I want to share a story that happened in my neighborhood. I don't know about those wild horses or donkeys, but I do know this is a fact. At the Food Lion just nearest my house, someone won the lottery just a couple weeks ago. Special little case of lottery winning, and they are going to receive $1,000 every day for the rest of their life. Not bad, huh? Now, when would you go and cash in that ticket? You're going to get $1,000 every day for the rest of your life. I don't know about you, but that's a pretty nice chunk of change, isn't it? With that kind of money, I wouldn't really have to worry about too much, and so I wouldn't go down and cash that in for quite some time, right? I would wait a while to really appreciate it and enjoy it, right? Someone in our neighborhood waited several weeks before it was actually claimed. I don't know why. Maybe they didn't see the numbers matching up. This is not a promotion of the lotto. And in fact, if you feel compelled to give money away in chance of winning, I want you to know you can play the Matt Huddleston lotto. You give me $10 and you can have all the change on my dashboard. It could be up to $10 billion. How long would you wait? The truth is, if we had that ticket, we would be down there this afternoon, wouldn't we? We'd be like, hurry up, preacher. I got places to go. Listen to what Paul writes in this passage. in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6, it says, whoever sows sparingly, they will reap sparingly. Whoever sows in very simple and weak terms will reap in very simple and weak terms. I want to ask you, what is your attitude towards giving? Is it my stuff that I'm giving to God? Is this my money that I have accumulated? Is it my stuff that I've got? Is it my time? And I don't want to give it to the church. I don't want to give it to those people in need. If they made better choices, then I wouldn't have to give my stuff. Or am I giving what God already owns? Where is my heart? Am I cheerful? Am I engaged? Do I care? And number two, do I want just a little ripple in our community? Do I want just a few to know? Do I want one more person to come to Christ? That's a great heart, isn't it? Just one more. Just one. Or one more. See, our heart and our desire to give, to serve, to participate is a great indication of our real faith and buy-in to our Lord and Savior. This morning I'm talking about your heart. I'm talking about where your mind is and what you will do. Some of you, because I've already said the word giving, some of you, because we're talking about money, have already checked out. I already know what I'm going to do, and don't ask for any more. I already participate at a good enough level, and bug off. Christ is giving us a message. Jesus continues on in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. He says, give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and it will be poured into your lap. For the measure you use will be the measure measured to you. I don't know about you, but God has blessed me in many ways. Amen? I think we can do better than that. Because we're here to honor, to glorify our Father in heaven. I don't know about you, but our Father has blessed me and you in many ways, right?
Amen.
I want to challenge you this morning. The measure you use will be returned back to you, pressed down, pushed together, shaken, pouring over. I love cooking with my mom when I was a little kid. You remember the brown sugar bowl? She'd say, we need a teaspoon, we need a half cup of brown sugar. And I would scoop it in there, and it was all clumpy. And she said, no, that's not right. She'd just push it down and be about halfway full. We'd put some more in, we'd push it back down. It'd be a third full, two-thirds full. We'd put some more in, and it didn't matter how much brown sugar you put in. The harder you press, the more room there was for a little bit more brown sugar. And you know a little bit more sugar is going to make those cookies taste even better. Measure you use, God's going to use that, but He's going to press it down. He's going to shake it together. It's going to be overflowing. Ask you, what is the result that you want to see in our community and in our world? The principle is clear. God, if we give, that God will give to you. Now, I don't want this to be the why. I don't want this to be the reason that we give, because the why is significantly important. Why we are giving is important, and why God gives back to us is important. And the story continues on with the third principle that we have this morning, that we are to choose our start. When will we begin in this? The why is important. Of where our heart is and what our message is, what we want to give and what we want to hold on to is important. Choose your start. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and now God, is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, you have all that you need and will abound in every good work. Same with that lottery. When do you choose to start to receive that money? Why will you hesitate? God is at work and He has promised this. That when you give, He will give back to you. It will be pressed down. It will be running over. But the reason that He gives you even more is so that you will be ready for each and every opportunity that our community needs. What kind of result do you want? Do you want to win just one person to the Lord? Do we want to win one more? When will you start this campaign? When will you make the day that you fully dedicate your heart to God? Will it be today or will you wait till tomorrow? God says, if you will give today, I will bless you so that you'll be prepared for tomorrow's challenges as well. When will you start? Three choices that are in front of us. Choose your attitude, choose your results, and choose your start. There's a lot that God places within our hands as we want to make an impact on the world. There was a young farmer. He called the new preacher out to his farm, and as they sat on the back porch, this farmer told the preacher about his great expectations, his ambitions of this farm, of the future, of what he was going to accomplish in his life. He shared about doubling, tripling the size, and how he felt that God had gifted him for this work and task in front of him. The minister chimed in. He said, if your farm grew to 500 head of cattle, would you give 250 to the work of the church? The young farmer was pretty excited that the minister had caught on to his vision about what he was going to do with his farm. And he said, if I had 500, I could easily give 250 head of cattle. And when I have 10,000 head of cattle, I could give 5,000, he declared. The minister looked at him and said, then why don't you start right now by giving 5 of your 10 goats? The young farmer said, oh, no, sir. I'm talking about when God blesses me, then I will give. How many of us will hold off one more day, waiting for a little bit more from God before we will take action? How many of us will wait one more day before fully dedicating our hearts and our lives, our money and our resources to honoring God today? There's some in this room that are holding a little bit too tightly to the things of this earth. We want to give you an opportunity to repent of that, to share that, to confess that, to encourage one another, to let these things go so that God will be glorified. In just a moment, we're going to sing a song about God being so good. Is He so good that we would give up the things of this earth for His glory and for His honor? Three choices to great godly giving. Choose your start. Will this be day one? Or once again, will this be someday, one day? Choose your results. Are we a people who dream of a little from God and for God? Or are we a people who pray for much for and from God? Choose your results. Choose your attitude. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, just before this letter, Paul writes also to the Corinthian church. He reminds them of something. He says, if I give all that I possess to the poor and give my bodies over to hardship, that I may boast, but I do not have love, I gain nothing. So this morning, we set our hearts and our minds on things above, not on things of this earth that will rust and be destroyed, that can be stolen and taken from us. We give honor and glory to our eternal Father in heaven. God gives, we give. God restores so that we are made ready for each and every opportunity. This morning, I would encourage you to stand and sing this song, God is so good. And let it either be a declaration that I am placing my life, my heart, my resources, my time, my energy, my money, my family, my job, my health, all that I have for His glory. Or let this be the day that you pull one of our elders aside, that you ask for our congregations for their prayers and counsel. Let this be the day that we declare that I will give generously because we serve a gracious, generous God. Let's stand together and sing.